Welcome back to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, you can always get the podcast over at Google, Apple, Spotify, and of course, KVI.com, whatever your preferred podcast platform is. Well, with the verdict in the Rittenhouse case today, where Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted on all counts, I want to dive in a little deeper into what originally caused the situation in Kenosha and across the rest of the country with the riots and such. In the fall of 2020, amidst riots, looting, and an alarming uptick in senseless killings, journalist Matt Rosenberg returned to his native Chicago to see if the city could dig itself out of the hot mess it became after decades of liberal governance. He is the author of the new book, What's Next Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son, and he joins us now on the Genuine Auto Glass Studio Line. Matt Rosenberg, welcome to the show.
Ari, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Pleasure to have you, especially on a day like today. What can you tell us about the contributing factors on the ground in Chicago and Kenosha? Lack of law and order, lack of police, tons of rioters coming from all over the country that may have been massive factors. I mean, if you didn't have that, you never would have had Kyle Rittenhouse.
We're scared of our own shadow these days. City leaders, you know, who've gone to universities where the instructors have been steeped in deconstructionism and moral relativism. City leaders, prosecutors are afraid to do their jobs. They're afraid to hold people of all races to the same standards. And they're afraid to let police be police. And so last year, when the nation erupted in, you know, legitimate concern about what had happened in Minneapolis, we saw this quick transition from peaceful protest to violent protest and an unwillingness of mayors and city councils to let police do their jobs and maintain public order. This leads to just more and more excuse making. And so you end up with things like in Chicago, the leader of a local BLM chapter, after smashing of windows and looting and rioting on Michigan Avenue in the heart of our downtown in August of last year, saying, hey, looting's okay. If you need to put food on the table and you've got to loot in order to do it, then that's life. And, you know, we're now hearing from progressives, and I've heard from some of my friends who are progressives, before you can call out the young black men who are killing each other to the tune of now 700 and 15 murders in the city of Chicago by this day right now this year versus 469 in all of 2019, before you can call out people for that, you have to effect a massive wealth transfer and institute more social programs. And, you know, if all that stuff had worked, it would have already worked in the last 50 or 60 years.
Right. And it seems like they're forging ahead with that. We saw what they passed today in Congress. And of course, this thing, it has all these carves out for millionaires and billionaires, even though they've been ranting this whole time. They want them to pay their fair share. Seems like this is really just a political payoff for all their buddies. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Matt Rosenberg, who's the author of the new book, What's Next Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. Now, I love Chicago. My grandparents live in Chicago. I go there all the time. And it's sad to me when I see these stories about somebody like Lori Lightfoot, who does everything it seems in her power to stoke violence, to demonize the police department, to violate her own mask mandates. I mean, how can Chicago keep voting this route when you see that these defund policies lead to the murder of hundreds of black men while at the same time they're claiming they're doing all this for racial justice?
Well, it is a great city, Ari, or at least it has great disrupt into the strands of its DNA, and there's still much to recommend it, which makes all the troubles so much more pressing. Lori Lightfoot campaigned convincingly as a reformer, especially against political corruption. How is it that people have chosen, one Democratic mayor after another, under which the city has worsened and spiraled ever downward? I really don't know. I think you kind of have to get beyond partisan politics here. But, you know, never underestimate the great power of white liberal guilt, because, you know, I've been coming face to face with it here. And, people are essentially lazy. What it really is a kind of actual systemic racism perpetrated by an elected political elite of color. And the great bugaboo is they're afraid to hold black people to the same standard as white people, the implication being they're not able to rise to the same level. And I listened to a very wise man named Shelby Steele, a prominent black scholar, talk about this in Chicago last winter. And he said, we know white people are serious when they ask something of us. So I think people keep electing race hustlers because it comports with their own self-interest. In other words, if I can just put up a Black Lives Matter sign on my front lawn, nobody will notice that actually black lives have never mattered to me. And why do I say that? Because when I point out the prodigious black-on-black violence that occurs in Chicago to my white progressive friends in Chicago, and I do roll that way, I have plenty of friends whose politics are nowhere near the same as mine, what they do is say, ah, yeah, well, it's always been like that. What are you going to do? And they only notice the crime when their own neighborhood starts to suffer from it. So out of sight, out of mind, black lives have never mattered to white progressives, and they still don't. So it's very easy then to keep electing so-called progressive Democrats who mouth the words like Lori Lightfoot that systemic racism is at the root of every problem, from underperforming schools to elevated murder rates among blacks. And it's amazing. You know, white racists are not killing blacks. Other young black men are killing other young black men. So we have a serious problem, and it starts with family formation and family cohesion. And is that the third rail? Yes, I will tell you that it is, because I talk about it regularly, and it really it's something that a lot of people can't deal with, but we all need to deal with it. And I went deep into the South Side, too. I want to stress that. I moved back in first to Bridgeport, where all of the Irish mayors have come from. And I went down into Englewood and Roseland and Washington Heights and out west to West Garfield Park. And I talked to black people in their homes and workplaces and Latinos, too. And what I found was that conservative values have always lived in these communities and still live there. And it's a vast gulf between what we hear from BLM and corporate media. So people need to get it straight from the horse's mouth.
So now that you've written this book and you want everybody to know about this, how do we solve it? I mean, you touched a little bit on dealing with the family system in the last couple minutes we have. What do you recommend in order to fix all this? Because you very clearly outlined the problem, and painting Black Lives Matter on our doorpost isn't going to keep rioters away, because you see those videos from Kenosha where literally stores that have Black Lives Matter on them are on fire. So what's the solution to solve all this?
There's a detailed policy playbook in the book, but to give you a few important highlights. In education, for instance, in Chicago, we need to lift the growth cap on public charter schools. They've performed well. The teachers union insisted on a growth cap in the latest round of contract talks. Lightfoot buckled to it. We need to have real school choice here, which is vouchers. And if you have to test that out in federal court, because somebody thinks your state constitution bars it because of this or that clause, test it out. In the meantime, we have a state tax credit program which funnels private money to families of minority students, lower income, so they can go to private religious schools. That's a good thing. I would say that when it comes to neighborhood economic development, I've seen some very successful micro-lending programs here so that ex-convicts are getting loans to buy Sprinter vans and start delivery services, feeding off the Amazon economy. We need to revitalize neighborhood downtowns in black and Latino areas. That's easier said than done. And in many ways, that goes back to crime and therefore to the family. But there are smart tax incentives, things like new market tax credits, which give you a break on your federal income tax if you invest in development programs for blighted areas. That's been used successfully in Chicago. Corruption, the endemic corruption we have here in Chicago, less of a problem in Seattle, I'm aware. We have it very bad here, and we have rigged rules of governance. in Seattle, too, and New York, we have our municipal elections scheduled during odd-numbered years, and often, in Chicago at least, odd months of the year. We get 33% turnout in our municipal elections. We should be holding our city elections in Chicago at the same time as presidential elections when 70% of voters turn out. You know, there's just a great deal more. We need independent mapping of our 50 city council districts. We need term limits on our mayor and city council. We need a vast reform of public contracting, which has always fed corruption here. We need independent out-of-town experts actually awarding the contracts. That would make a huge difference. I mean, we've had people nailed for a bid rigging going back as far as the 1800s in this city, and it's still happening. So you know,
that's quite a laundry list you have there. I guess if people want to see
just a few highlights,
just a few there. I guess if people want to see the rest of it, they're going to have to pick up the book. Matt Rosenberg, author of the new book "What's Next, Chicago: Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son." Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your insight. We really do appreciate it.
And Ari, folks should go straight to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com and just enter "What Next Chicago" in the box.
Fantastic. All right. Thank you for joining us, sir. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. Before we go, just want to remind everybody it is your next chance to win an emergency radio. So right now, if you want to win that emergency radio, please give us a call. Be caller number 10 at 1-888-312-5757. That's 1-888-312-5757. When we come back, we'll be talking with Jason Mercier about what's going on in Washington State. So that way you can find out what's happening in the legislature. All the latest breaking details: is a state income tax coming your way, or is your county doing something to stop it? You're listening to The Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI.